Notice! Notice! This midweek mini was recorded several months ago and may not be up to date with current events. For fresh minisode uploads with every episode, head to patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
Minisode 250.
Ooh,
250?
Welcome. 252. No, it's past 250.
The new 52?
The new 52.
Oh, wow.
Starts today. I'm double checking right now. It is 253 today. So sorry. 253. I was off.
Well, Jesse's been turned into a velociraptor, first things first.
I've been doing a bit because I figure you guys make the voice noises, so I'll do the creepy stuff with my face.
He turned into
and
a real dinosaur.
So people will want to tune in and watch.
Yeah, that's awesome. Guys, patreon.com. If you're not watching this on Patreon already, you better get over here.
Yeah, you better do it.
This shit's
There's so
crazy.
Much crazy stuff
this
happening.
Shit's crazy. I feel like I'm in a Jackass video.
How about Alex, you start us for today, because I know what I'm going to talk about, and I also know what Jesse's going to talk about. So, and they're kind of in the same realm of science, so to speak.
Oh, well, mine is definitely not in the realm of science.
Okay.
I have just done an episode, if you are listening to this on Patreon, about fictional characters becoming real.
Yes.
And I had a bunch
of stories. I want to talk about if you real characters becoming fiction.
What was that?
What would you title the episode if you were to title that episode?
It Writes Itself.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah. And
good title. That's a solid title.
Pretty solid. I actually said it the other day, and then I had to like bother Hilda to be like, what the fuck did I say? That was like perfect. Okay. I had extra Tulpa stories that I thought were great, but just I couldn't fit into the story, and I thought they were worth telling because they're neat. But basically all the articles out there are basically the same. Anything that you read about this topic is going to have the same few stories. Alan Moore.
The Tulpa topic?
Yeah. Like Alan Moore, the Shadow. Even Alan Moore, when he was talking about his own experience, referenced the Shadow in his own story. But in this one article that I found on journalnews.com.ph from 2021? Yeah, 2021 by People's Tonight, Brett Swanser. Thank you so much for this article. But he has these two other stories that he pulled from like some websites that I've never seen before. And so I wanted to get into them. First one supposedly comes from a website called Stranger Dimensions. Found the website, couldn't find this story. But it's about a guy whose wife is a published author and that she has him proofread her manuscripts all the time. So he's done it a bunch of times, but this one time, something different happened. Here's the quote from the guy. I started reading the book about the third week of September. When I read any book, I create a picture in my mind of what a character looks like. I did this with an adult character by the name of Marie, who is mentioned quite often throughout the book. So I'm a slow reader. It takes me quite a while to get through any book I read. Sometimes I have to reread something I just read because my attention may have drifted from the book to something else. So I take my time and read carefully. My wife started to fuss a bit, asking me if I didn't like the story. I honestly was enjoying the book, and I kept telling her that it just takes me longer than the average reader to finish a book. So Saturday evening, September 28th, I'm home alone washing some dishes in the sink. The sun is setting, so it's still light out. I hear a banging sound coming from the backyard. I recognize the sound as being the shed door. I walk into the living room to look out a window and see who's there, when I see this woman standing there just swinging the shed door to the closed position and reopening it again, consistently making the banging sound. The shed sits about 40 yards directly behind the house/window I'm looking out. Dark hair, baggy, off-white gown, looking as if into the neighbor's yard, just slamming the door. My first thought is, who is this woman in my yard? Why is she doing that? I push off the window and head for the backyard. The noise stops before I get to the door that leads to the back porch. I didn't look up towards the shed until I was out of the porch on the patio, and she is not there. My shed door is open, and I figure she is now in the shed or behind it. I first walk around the shed before opening the door wide enough to look in. Nothing. She is gone quicker than anyone could physically remove themselves from sight without climbing fences and such. It wasn't until later that night did I make a connection. The woman in my yard very much matched the description of the character in my wife's book that I was currently reading. The hair, the outfit as I pictured it. Granted, this person was about 40 yards from my window when I was watching her. I started to do some digging online and came across the tulpa. Could my wife's anger with me for reading her book too slowly have created some kind of thought form? If that's even possible, what purpose would it serve except to confuse? And if this was some random person who wandered in my yard, why the odd behavior? So that's one story that I thought was neat. I like the idea of the sort of like, you know, the guy who was the shadow writer said something about an after image projection or something. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how some people think ghosts aren't conscious. Like you just see them replay things. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Okay.
I thought it was interesting, the idea of a tulpa that's just repeating the same action over and over. And it's just sort of a simple action, kind of unnaturally doing it over and over again. It's like a just barely manifested character. Kind of creepy, kind of interesting. The other one is much weirder, and I thought it was really interesting because of the way they framed it. And this one is from another website that I could not figure out called Phantoms and Monsters. And this is about a guy who is currently a paranormal researcher, but who says that when they were a kid in the 80s, they'd been trying to get to sleep in the room that they shared with their brother. And then this room had a big walk-in closet. And as he's laying there, the door begins to open by itself. Okay. So he says, one night as I was trying to get to sleep, my brother was already asleep, the door opened, and I know this sounds crazy, but out came Big Bird of the children's show Sesame Street. I remember being frightened at first, but others came out too, and they were very friendly and led me into the closet with them. All I remember at this point is that Big Bird gave me a flavored chapstick, most likely to ease my fear because I loved chapstick, and they brought me back to my bed. I went to sleep very happy over the whole experience and was not afraid anymore. I put the chapstick under my pillow after taking a tiny nibble, leaving my teeth marks just to see if it was still there in the morning. The next morning, I checked, and lo and behold, the chapstick was there, just like I remembered, and at that moment, I knew for a fact it was not a dream. If it were not for that chapstick, the experience probably wouldn't have not have stayed with me all these years. I tried to tell my brother, but he laughed it off. As anyone would, it sounds totally crazy. Now, after reading the other accounts of similar experiences, I'm wondering if this was an abduction disguised as a friendly interaction.
Hmm.
So that's another thing, because this, what I was going to go, the angle that I was going to go with this in the episode was going to be the thing that we've talked about before a lot of times, which is maybe the people seeing strange things in the wilderness and in their own houses and stuff are seeing some sort of extraterrestrial or interdimensional or time traveling AI or whatever thing, and it is using our own brain power to sort of disguise itself as something that is acceptable to us. You know what I mean? Something from another dimension that is not expressible in our dimension without taking the form of, say, a chapstick wielding Big Bird for some fucking reason. But, like, you know, that's the idea here, is like maybe there's something like that too. Like maybe some external force is creating tulpas that we don't know about, or maybe tulpas are something like this. Maybe seeing John Constantine is you actually seeing something that's not expressible in reality, taking the form of a warlock from your mind.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe
to a lesser degree, I do wonder sometimes if the things I see now in the sky occasionally are because I've been just thinking about it for fucking so long that it's just consciousness showing itself what it's been thinking about. You know what I mean?
It's like, kind of like not that crazy of an explanation in a way, right? It's like kind of,
right.
It's kind of like a little bit comforting of an explanation in a way that you could like manifest things like this, even though they're not necessarily real, and also see them, even though they're not really real. I don't know. There's something kind of interesting about that. It just sounds like I'm talking about hallucinating, but you know, I don't know. Like, it's not really hallucinating if it's like the product of a lot of manifest.
If it's, I still firmly believe whatever it is still scientific in nature. It's how our reality is on a fundamental level in a way we just don't understand really. And if that's your last one, actually kind of leads into like what I have.
What's your best guess on Big Bird though, real quick? What happened there to that kid?
Oh, hallucination of like their parent.
What maybe? About the chapstick? Her parent came in, gave him a chapstick.
Is the Mothman then?
Mothman?
Mothman okay. disguised as Big Bird to prevent the disaster of Chapped Lips.
There you go. Maybe, yeah, maybe Mothman does all disasters.
Yeah. You just never know.
All right. I accept
what is that? What about you, Jesse? What's your guess?
I think it's fantasy, like pure fantasy. Yeah. But, you know, whatever. I'm not going to hate a kid for having, like, daydreams.
A Big Bird dream?
A Big Bird dream, yeah, yeah.
Have you ever had something nuts. Like, have you ever had, like, and I looked in the morning and it was still there, and that meant it was real. Have you ever had anything like that happen to you?
Like, no. What do you mean? Like,
something where you had, like, an amazing thing happen, and then you're like, will I ever believe this? I'll keep a piece of paper just in case.
No, I did have that one very banal dream that happened. That's the only thing
where
that
you
I had
like a prediction where you had a prediction, a
24-hour weird prediction of an email showing up. Yeah, very strange.
Interesting.
The reason I say this bounces off to my article pretty quick is this article actually came out yesterday, and I got it. Thanks, shout out to the Discord for putting it out there. Big Mama Chunk, appreciate you always.
Big Mama Chunk on the Discord, hell yeah.
She's been to almost all of our live shows. She's awesome. She put this up there. She's a scientist. I forget what field of academics she works in.
Wizard.
Either way, this is from yesterday. The article, I'll link it to you, but the article is quantum teleportation between photons from two distant light sources has officially been achieved.
I feel like I've heard this story 100 times also somehow.
No, we've heard they've been making like breakthroughs of it toward it and like able to transfer. But let me read you like instead of this is like the article is very hard. So you can scroll down and see how they achieved it with their weird machine. This is from November.
I'm seeing a guy and he's giving me a choice between pulling several things out and maybe lava is going to pull the gold or maybe the water is going to drown the man.
They published, like right below that.
They didn't publish a study on this website. This is the phys.org website. They published it on like Nature something.
Dude, this diagram looks like a house from The Sims. That is complex, bro.
Dude, exactly. I'm going to read you a more broken down version of what happened here. So basically, like what it says, the article says, scientists in Germany just pulled off quantum teleportation between two completely separate light sources for the very first time. Not metaphorical teleportation, actual information getting quote-unquote beamed from one particle to another without physically traveling through the space between them. What they did was take two quantum dots, and this says to think of them like artificial atoms that spit out photons on command.
Is that what they are?
Yeah, I think that's like how... there's a science-y more version that I don't understand.
We definitely need like a science person.
They do something...
If you go to patreon.com and pay us more money, we can hire a in-house quantum science.
Yeah, because we need like someone to be like, this is what this actually means.
Get us nice and set so for much. The next couple years. Yeah.
They took two quantum dots in different locations and successfully teleported quantum information from a photon created by one quantum dot to a photon from the other. The quantum dots were only 10 meters apart in this experiment, but they've already proven the entanglement survives 36 kilometers through Strutgar's fiber optic cables. The thing is what they did is they created an entangled photon pair, two light particles that are quantum mechanically linked as a single entity, even when separated, which we've talked about many, many times. One photon from this pair meets up with a third photon, which is the one carrying the information. When these two interfere with each other, the information instantly transfers to the distant partner of the entangled pair that's interacting with that third one.
That's
the information
part where
doesn't
it's
gone. Travel through space.
That's where you lost me right there.
Yeah. Huh?
That was the moment that you lost me when you said that last sentence.
So it's two separate photons, right, with no information.
Yes.
That are 10 meters apart a third photon that has information.
Yes, yes.
One of them goes and basically messes with it to get that information.
Messes with it.
Because it's entangled with the other one, also gets that information as well. So whatever information the one that's interfering with the third photon gets, the other one automatically gets it.
But
so
what is it?
They're
how
transferring
does it,
information instantly across
how
space.
Does how does the photon get the information?
All right, let me keep reading here. One photon from this pair meets up with the third photon. When these two interfere with each other, the information instantly transfers. And it instantly appears. It doesn't actually go through anything.
What is so interfere,
interference is like,
literally like messing with occupy it, the same space.
Yeah. Bumping. I don't know. Like look at the fucking machine and you try to tell me what
that's
that
the
is.
Part. That's the part that I'm trying to understand is just that everything else conceptually, like if this was just ideas, I'm like 100% with you. I thought that's kind of what quantum entanglement was already sort of. So that kind of makes sense to me that there's something about that. With the caveman's understanding of quantum physics that I have, something about that seems consistent with other things I've heard.
Basically, transfer the information. They go to explain is like the photons, they have to be basically identical, like, you know, same timing, same everything, or the teleportation of the information fails.
Right.
They achieve this using quantum frequency converters to compensate for tiny differences. Their current success rate is just over 70% of the time they're able to do this.
That's pretty good.
The polarization of the photon, which is how it's oriented in space, carries the information. And because of quantum mechanics, you can't read it without changing it. That's the other tricky part about quantum mechanics is once you observe the information, the observation changes and settles into one thing, which is why quantum communication, and the reason they're researching this, is this kind of communication can't be hacked. Because right now, the big worry is as a quantum computing happens, encryption dies. If a quantum computer... The first quantum computer that ever exists, it could crack every code on Earth in minutes at most because it will be able to calculate every possible algorithm from every possible thing all at once. And like, that's the big scare. And now, so they're looking into how do we keep our shit
encrypted,
and you can't decrypt something that's in a state of decoherence constantly of multiple states at once.
That's impossible. Then what happens to the information? Doesn't it change? Isn't there
So the way I am understanding it as a layman is the information is being kept on a photon that's like decohered. And to get that information, you then have to have another photon hit it, which is entangled with another photon. Which
I literally don't understand what you're saying.
Human beings.
Did you ever play Mass Effect?
I'm with you.
Sure.
That's human beings are communication. That instant, like how they is what it is.
Human beings are saying
that's sci-fi where beep boop beep boop it works
with a straight face. Human beings are storing information on a decoherent photon. Is that what you said?
Yeah,
a decoherent photon.
Photon. Then the photons have to be basically identical.
A light particle.
Yes, a particle of light.
We're somehow printing information onto a light particle that is that doesn't exist.
Okay, I'm going to read the scientific run-through and see if this makes any more sense to you.
Okay.
You have photon A, the one with the information that you want to send. Photons B and C are the entangled pair. They're quantum mechanically linked.
A goes photon to B, C, immediately to C.
So photon C stays at the destination, and photon B goes to where photon A is. You bring photons A and B together and do a special kind of measurement called a Bell state measurement. This measurement doesn't tell you what the information on photon A is, but it does destroy both photons and gives you one of four possible results. When you make this measurement, something instantaneous happens. Photon C, the distant partner, collapses into a state that's related to what photon A was. The information is now on photon C, but in a scrambled form.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
So it's okay. So.
And then you never encrypt it.
Wait, yeah. So baby version is you have A, B, and C. B and C are connected. You take A and B, and then you like negate the shit out of them. They cease to exist. And what was on A has quantumly ended up on C because of its interaction with B. But however, what's on C is scrambled because it isn't exactly what was on A. It's A's information, but it's like those episodes where the transporter makes a mutant.
Yes. It goes on to say, like, that catch is that it still prevents faster than light communication because the person at the destination can't actually read the information yet. Photon C is in one of four possible scrambled states, and they don't know which one. Hmm. You have to send them a classical message, radio, phone, whatever, limited by light speed, telling them which of the four measurements results you got. And once they receive that two-bit message, they know which unscrambling operation to apply to photon C and then the original information is recovered.
Can you not just unscramble all four?
So they, yeah, couldn't you quantum compute that and do all four at once?
Well, maybe when we have quantum computers, right? Like, it's gotcha. You don't know yet because there's no actual classical quantum computer yet.
I'm okay. So... I realize
that the act of measuring A and B together causes C to instantaneously collapse into the correlated state, no matter how far away it is. The information doesn't travel. The wave function of the entire system just collapses.
It feels like we're looking at magic and trying to like talk about it. Like I have
That's what
it's so quantum physics is so impossible. Like everybody who like literally Jesse, was that you in the group chat the other day was like, check out this. And it's like a quantum physics professor. Like I'm the only one here right now who doesn't know shit about quantum physics. And by the end of the semester, you will all know that you know shit about quantum physics. It's like,
yeah,
I think
it's fascinating that it's so not understandable, but that's what makes it exciting because it means there's a lot we don't understand about the universe. And
it's like Mathis's favorite mutant power for me of like not being able to remember it once I stop looking at it.
Right. Like, exactly. I'll read this last bit where someone tries to kind of explain it. They say it's like you have a sealed envelope, which is photon A. You bring it together with one half the pair, photon B, and you roll them together. Then you the roll doesn't tell you what's in the envelope. Like you roll a dice together, but it causes the other die, photon C, which could be on the other side of the galaxy, to show a face that encodes the letter's content in scrambled form. Then you call your friend and say, I rolled a 3, and they know how to unscramble their die to read the letter.
But we have no idea why those two photons do that.
Because entanglement, we just know that's what entanglement is. We genuinely don't know how entanglement, like why
how did we,
space and time don't
how
mean
do we
anything.
Entangle? How do we get to... How do we get an A?
We can entangle
C?
We can entangle. We actually scientifically can entangle photons. The problem is, in order to, for the information to be like transferred, you still have to call somebody. You still have to like pass along the information. We need to find the way to be able to look at the information without looking at the information. To
it would be like if I wired you over. Like if it's like, you know, I was about to make an 1800s analogy, but screw that. It would be like if I phone called you right now and said, Alex, I'm sending you over email this encoded information. You're like, okay. And I emailed you this thing in a split second. It was gibberish. And then you're like, I don't know how to read this. And I was like, oh, I mailed you the answer. It should be there in 10 business days.
Sort
it's kind
of
like that vibe. Like we can send information quickly, but we can't decode it unless we have the normal slow moving dialogue between each other.
It's like, hey, you know that money that you need?
What's fascinating, though, is it still shows, whether we can decode it or not, information can be transferred instantaneously across any distance.
Yeah, oh no, that's neat. It's just that it's useless right now, but like, it's neat that we can do that.
Does that prove that reality is fundamentally non-local?
Maybe, proves. Like, it's like, if you look at, like, it's like if you had a bank, hey, I robbed a bank, you know that money you need? I robbed a bank, but I don't know. I grabbed a bag and ran. I don't know what country's money it's in, but when you open the bag, it's going to blow up the ink. And like, you won't be able to like use the money anymore. It's like kind of what it's like. It's like the act of getting the information changes the information because
what someone says it does imply is that not definitively, but it says it does imply that space might be emergent and not fundamental. Like if entanglement connects things independently of distance,
like
and quantum teleportation moves information without it traveling through space. This is why I'm saying I think it might
connect to your Let me read my story, please.
Because literally, if space doesn't matter to transfer information, then would not space be fundamental?
Let me
emergent?
Read my story. Mm-hmm. I want it. While Mathis is saying stuff that might be very hard to understand, this is very easy to understand and
Take
will
it,
hurt
Jesse.
Your mind even more.
Take it
this
away.
Will like break you. I'm ready. Okay. This article is titled "The Universe is Moving Wrong and No One Knows Why." It was written by David Freeman, but it's a bunch of actual like published stuff that's been out lately, and it's really starting to pick up steam. I'm just going to read this to you. I've cut it down and taken out a lot of the weird tech stuff just to give you kind of an idea. Here you go. Something is very wrong with the universe, and scientists just proved it with numbers that cannot be ignored. This month, a team of astrophysicists published findings in Physical Review letters that have sent shockwaves through the scientific community. After analyzing 4.4 million radio sources across the sky, they have confirmed that the distribution of galaxies in the universe is radically lopsided, showing an asymmetry more than three times stronger than our own motion through space can explain. This means there is either a massive structure or a vast current flowing through the cosmos that our theories never predicted and cannot account for. This is no small discrepancy. The measurements reveal an imbalance in the universe nearly four times larger than it should be, with statistical confidence so high that the chances of error are essentially zero. When scientists talk about a 5.4 sigma detection, they mean the odds of being wrong are less than one in several million.
They're saying we're 100% sure that we're wrong.
Yeah, this is the threshold where anomalies become established facts. The fact confronting cosmology is this. The universe has a structure to it it should not have. Organized in a direction that suggests forces or flows, operating on scales our models never anticipated. For almost a century, everything we know about cosmology has rested on one fundamental assumption. The universe, when you zoom out far enough, looks the same in every direction. There are no special places, no preferred orientation, no cosmic up or down. This is called the cosmological principle. And without it, Einstein's equations describing reality itself stop working. The principle just failed its biggest test. Not because our measurements of motion are wrong, but because the matter itself is distributed in patterns that should not exist.
But don't we?
But that actually, that's funny because the thing I was reading also says, this, if this is showing that space is emergent, it goes against what Einstein was fighting against this for decades, apparently.
Sure.
Like, this is like what he was going against. But if reality is quantum on an information on a fundamental level, then space would be emergent by rule, because information is the structure to reality, not space and physical existence.
Yeah. But it's fucked up because it's like,
because space and time would be nothing if we were fourth or fifth dimensional creatures.
Didn't we already learn that there's like, we may be in some sort of like,
oh, there was a scientist did propose that we were in a pocket, kind of like our own little,
that
basically
fucks up all our readings. Basically
that whole thing is just like this. And that everyone's trying to explain what we're all detecting now, which is something's up. There is clearly
we're
a problem.
We're wrong about something. Probably.
Yes. Something's wrong.
Right.
And so, the implications are staggering. Our velocity is not in question. The satellites measuring our motion through the cosmic microwave background are the most precise instruments in cosmology, and their measurements are rock solid. But if our velocity only accounts for one quarter of the observed asymmetry, something else must be responsible for the other three quarters. Either the universe itself is lopsided on an unimaginable scale, or we are caught in a massive current, a bulk flow of galaxies stretching billions of light years, dragged by forces or structures that no model has predicted. Think of it like this. You're driving down the highway at exactly 40 miles an hour. Your speedometer is calibrated by the most precise instruments available. It confirms this without question. But when you stick your hand out the window, the wind resistance feels like 150 miles per hour. But your speedometer is not broken. You really are only going 40, but that means you must have 110 mile per hour wind blowing the same direction as you travel. A wind you never knew existed and you had no reason to expect. The wind represents a massive force moving through the environment around you, and every theory you had about weather just became inadequate. That is the situation cosmology faces right now. The cosmic speedometer reads 370 kilometers per second, which is what we're currently at as a galaxy. The asymmetry of galaxy counts indicates an effective motion of more than 1,200 kilometers per second. The difference cannot be explained by measurement error because independent instruments using completely different methods all measure the same thing. There is a current in the universe, or a vast imbalance in how matter is distributed, operating on scales that should not exist according to every successful cosmological model developed over the past century.
What the fuck does that even, what am I supposed to do with that information?
Well,
should I get a different thing at McDonald's now?
What makes the discovery particularly disturbing is that it keeps appearing in multiple independent observations. Researchers using infrared telescopes in space, looking at completely different types of galaxies, found the same excessive asymmetry pointing in the same direction. These observations have nothing in common with the radio surveys except that they both are mapping distant objects. Different instruments, different wavelengths, different parts of the sky, different populations of galaxies, same impossible pattern of lopsided distribution. The team used sophisticated statistical models to rule out every conventional explanation. Maybe radio galaxy clusters together in ways that create false patterns. They accounted for those clustering effects. Maybe the telescopes have calibration errors that create artificial asymmetries. Different telescopes were used by different people. All without error, all say the same things. Maybe nearby galaxies are contaminating the signal. They filtered all the local sources. The massive asymmetry remains persistent across every test, pointing in the same direction with unwavering consistency. So here's the fun bit. Scientists are now forced to consider possibilities that sound like science fiction, but represent the only remaining explanations for what the data shows. The first possibility is that matter in the universe is distributed far more unevenly than the model predicts. Not just small-scale lumpness from galaxy clusters and superclusters, but organization on scales approaching the size of the observable universe itself. Vast regions of higher and lower density creating directional flows and asymmetries that persist across billions of light years. And if this is true, the assumption of kind of like that pinpoint exploded outward and everything's even because it all came from the exact same moment and exploded, the Big Bang. Like, sure, the Big Bang can be real, but what it did, it's not appearing like that's what happened.
And nobody really believes in it anyway anymore, right?
No, they do.
The Big Bang?
We can see, like, remember, with our telescopes, we're technically looking into the past, and we can see way back to when some of the first galaxies, all clustered in a way that we would have expected it to be from the Big Bang, have been there. It's just what happened immediately after that moment, we're just throwing darts at it. Well, obviously, scientists are taking much better guesses than throwing darts, but we don't have a definitive answer, clearly.
It seems
the second possibility.
It just seems silly to try and study this place from our little zone.
It's fast. I mean, like, this truly, there's nothing we can do about any of this, but it's interesting to see, like, we're learning a lot. Like, the second possibility is that we exist within an enormous current, what astronomers call a bulk flow. Picture a river with eddies and currents extending for miles. Now scale this up to galactic proportions. Our entire region of the universe, including hundreds of thousands of galaxies, this is going to sound like some of the stuff we've talked about before, stretching across incomprehensible distances, might be caught in a coherent flow driven by gravitational effects from structures beyond our observable horizon. Some researchers have proposed the existence of what they call the Great Repeller, a vast, empty region of space creating flows through gravitational repulsion.
Ruled by Emperor Zurg. Yeah.
Others suggest concentrations of matter in directions we cannot observe might be pulling huge volumes of space into organized motion. Both explanations shatter fundamental assumptions about the way the universe works. Equations that have worked for a century suddenly need modification or additional additions to account for effects operating on this large scale.
Was there like more powerful tools, to measure more accurately, see further out? Like, it's just technology is getting better at detecting more. Like,
was there
more
one specific thing that gave us these new measurements? Like, was there a moment that we can pinpoint?
We've been talking about this for a while. This is everyone's picking it up, and this is the everything coming together. All the 4.4 million sort, like, this is it. This is, guys, we have done the research, we've done the math, we looked at everything everyone had, and it's confirmed. We don't know jack. We are missing some stuff here, and that's fascinating. Like, the third option, even more unsettling, is perhaps we exist in a special region of a much larger cosmos. And this is what that previous article we were talking about, like, sort of we're in this little tiny area of space and everything else is operating under different fundamental things. A pocket where conditions differ from the average. The asymmetry we detect would then be real, not an error or artifact, but would reflect genuine large-scale variations in the properties of space itself. This violates a principle scientists have held sacred since Copernicus overthrew the geocentric model. We are not special. We are not the center of anything. The universe looks the same in any location. This isn't true. The universe is probably different in all sorts of locations. We are just now seeing beyond what we saw before. The measurements are forcing a confrontation between observation and theory that cannot be avoided or explained away. What began as routine survey work cataloging radio sources has evolved into one of the deepest mysteries of modern astrophysics. And the thing that I think is most interesting is the thing we don't think about unless we go like really philosophical.
I love that though.
What was here before the universe existed? You know, we always think like, what is it expanding into? What is, you know, like, is it a bubble? We always have these thoughts. And this, I think, kind of goes into a fun way of like, if there are flows and there's like rivers, and I think of it kind of like water, where there are currents that you cannot see, underwater rivers. And that's kind of in the darkness of space. I feel like that's the vibe here. Or there are incredibly large objects outside the known universe impacting the universe. With whatever that means.
Or Galactus, like, dude.
I also think of like, if the reality on a fundamental level is quantum information, and space is emergent of that, maybe where information crosses itself and creates patterns that make space emerge, then there is nothing outside, because everything outside is just quantum information waiting to become third dimensional patterns that cross each other or something. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, there could be tons of, I mean, like, literally, if you want to go full sci-fi, you could be like, why are there changes to the universe? Some species is operating on a grand scale and messing with stuff and moving planets, and like, you can do whatever you like. The real takeaway is at the end.
It could be true, though. That's the thing.
The way they talk about the information transferring on photons reminds me of Star Trek beaming technology.
That's what I'm saying. Copying
information and just pushing it onto other molecules and being like the same person.
There is literally, it's one of those things where on a day-to-day human life, if you're thinking, well, what does that mean to us? Absolutely nothing. It's pure high science of like, this is massive and could change the way we see things. But on a grand scale, does us being caught in a flow or in a certain area with a bunch of other galaxies matter?
No.
The likelihood of the human race even getting outside of our galaxy is minimal, even at the height of what we could be, right? We could maybe travel between solar systems. But getting out of the galaxy, that is so far in the future.
We would need wormhole technology.
Yeah, there's no way.
We would need to make that real. And that, yeah, there's just not a way.
And the idea that, like, we would be in an area with very few galaxies, but there'd be another part of the universe with, like, a lot of, like, that doesn't matter to us, but it does help us fundamentally understand everything that we cut. One of those, like, big questions, why are we here? Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, what if, and that's fascinating.
Because you can go, like, this way. If it doesn't mean indicate that you have a soul or anything, but if reality is fundamental, you die and whatever experience in the third dimension you have melts into that information, becomes part of reality. You may not, you yourself as an individual may no longer exist. You as Jesse, as information funneled through this third dimensional brain, but maybe that's still like, there is that part of it. It's like, well, your experience is meaningful because even if you're a human on this earth, that imprints onto reality at a fundamental level that we scientifically are only just being able to like peek at. And that's fucking a philosophical branch that may also one day branch into real science if quantum mechanics keeps getting better and better at looking at what reality is.
Have you guys seen Devs?
Devs, no.
On FX, there's like a show like from 2020. It's like 8 episodes. Give it a look if you're into this topic. Obviously, way more exciting, but it's by Alex Garland, if that's exciting to you.
Okay. I do like Alex Gardner, respect him. I'm fascinated. That's interesting. This fucking space is just now that, because now, and we'll never hear it in mainstream, but now they're gonna have to redo models. Like, it'll be decades. They're gonna have to redo. It was like,
I mean, if they can get rid of Pluto, there'll be people who are like, I'm angry, but like, science always changes. And I think the fact that it's changing rapidly right now shows how better we are. This is like when people get upset when they're like, a lot more cases of ADD and autism these days. What's going on? Like, we're better at detecting it. We're better at detecting and talking about it. Like, that's the, it's that kind of thing. When science changes and when stuff around us changes, we shouldn't reject it. We should be like,
it's
go
such
on.
A famous individual, but if you want to read about somebody who in the ancient, older history had ADHD, Mozart.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Like, that man was ADHD as fuck. Like, every description of that guy. Like, it's been, they've been around forever. But man, what is space? I want to see the models. I want to see what they redo. Like, what is it going to lead to? What is this photon information teleportation going to lead to? What does it imply? Like, I don't know.
What if you can, how far can you project this? How much control does
hypothetically, literally infinitely, as long as the two particles are entangled.
When you apply quantum computing to these numbers, like, is it going to be like in a few years we're sitting in preschool with kids like, reality is a consensus of our brains' powers observing the universe. We are an energy field.
Into the alien world too. It also shows like looking for radio waves may be the wrong thing to be looking for, because if we're learning that we will be able to like quantum communicate via computers or whatever, why wouldn't anything more advanced than us be using that and not fucking radio waves, which literally just take so long to traverse?
Because
space.
There wasn't a moment we didn't know that existed.
Right.
You know, like we thought the radio waves were the pinnacle of what we could do. And now we know here. That's not.
It's pretty crazy. If you imagine, you know, like the first time we used them.
The 7 years we've been doing the show, like so much has just changed about our reality.
My genuine perception of reality has changed. I don't think it's necessarily because I'm one of the hosts of this show.
No,
but my current perception of reality has definitely been affected by being the host of the show.
Yes, I would agree for sure. Reading as much as you read and having to be very, very, as best as I can without being educated, get rid of fact and fiction is just, you learn, and then the things you're left with are questionable. Like, where all the money in these black site projects go with UFOs and shit. But anyway, dude, I love that. I'm going to read into that. Can you link me that article after this? Because I do want to read that. I'm so fascinated. Space, what is it, dude? Well, thank you for hanging out with us, guys, on this gigantic mini-sode. We appreciate you. We'll be back next week with another one. Enjoy yourselves. Is the holiday next week? American Thanksgiving, U.S. Thanksgiving. Is that next week?
It is.
It's next Thursday.
So enjoy it for those who celebrate. We'll see you afterwards. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.